time once again for Community Forum, and we are very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning, Ashley Joppa Hagerman. Ashley Joppa Hagerman is a widow of 25-year-old Staff Sergeant Jared Hagerman, who committed suicide on June 28th of this year, ahead of his 8th redeployment to Iraq and Afghanistan, serving as a Ranger in the U.S. Army. Ashley, thank you very much for coming in and spending time with us this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, start out, tell us about your husband. What was his motivation in joining the military?
As many Americans, it was September 11th, the attack on the Twin Towers.
All right. And had he always wanted to, had he thought of being in the military prior to that?
From what his family says, and from what I kind of got from him, yeah. My husband enjoyed being outdoors, and he was very adventurous and loved hunting, and he just was very motivated and a very patriotic, if you'd say, sort of person.
All right. And did he join after high school?
Yeah, he did.
All right. And you had earlier last week had met Donald Rumsfeld. How did Donald Rumsfeld work into your husband's joining the military? Did he have any influence on that?
Well, the whole Bush administration, and certain things that they had said didn't coincide with what my husband was seeing overseas. So, and I heard that Donald would be in town, and I just figured, hey, why not get some sort of closure for me, or at least to be able to tell the person who's in, you know, one of the people who's been in charge of, you know, this whole 10-year war, why not make a difference? Why not let them see what they're doing to innocent people? So, yeah.
So he joined in 2005, is that right?
2004, right when he, I believe he turned 18 and he graduated.
And did he enjoy it at first?
Oh, yeah, he was so excited. Just even by the pictures and him telling me about when he joined, when I first met him, and because when I first met him, he had never been deployed. And he was just so excited to be a part of something good, and yeah, he's really excited.
All right, and when did he start having second thoughts about his deployments?
At first I wouldn't say it was second thoughts. It was more of some stories that he had heard, so he was nervous, because when you sign up for something like as in war, you expect, you know, bad things to happen to good people. But my husband wasn't that sort of person. He wanted justice for people. He believed in the truth. And he was just a good person.
So was there a particular point in time when there must be some point in time when he didn't want to start redeploying?
After the first few deployments, he wouldn't talk. He never really opened up to me about it. He was very just quiet, didn't want to talk. So I didn't know what to do. And then just after he came back from deployment, I believe in 09, because we were having, you know, some struggles. We were separated, and when he came back, that's when he called me up and started to open up to me and tell me things that, you know, he actually started to communicate with me. And yeah.
So in a sense, then things were getting a little bit better between the two of you then?
Yeah, he had asked for help, admitted himself into 5 North at Madigan, and he really, you know, he told the Rangers that he wanted out, he was getting out, and all he kept saying was, I quit, and he just kept saying that. Because two Rangers had came to talk to him, and he just kept saying, like, look at this, you know, pointing to me. He's like, look at this beautiful woman. And he was like, I quit. He was like, I love her. And that's when he started to open up.
So what was the military's response to him wanting to quit? Obviously, a couple of Rangers tried to intervene there.
Well, he got, you know, admitted himself to 5 North. And they put him in the S5 shop to accommodate his counseling for his drinking. And we decided that we were going to go to marriage counseling. And after a while, for whatever reason, they said it was interfering with his work and that he needed to do it on his own time. So we tried.
For those that are unfamiliar with it, what is the 5 North?
As my husband said, or a lot of military people would put it, it's the psych ward. Where you, I want to say, like, not mental, that sounds horrible, but just like, it sounds bad, but yeah, mental, to like counseling, psychiatry, or what have you, that sort of thing.
Sure. Because obviously a lot of people serving are under incredible mental stress, so.
Oh, yeah. Some of the stories that Jared would tell me about the people in there, and he was, when I did go and visit him, I try to visit him all the time, and he'd be so happy to see me, and he would just tell me, like, wow, you wouldn't believe the stuff that goes on in here. He's like, I'm not the only messed up person. And I just laughed. And I'm like, you're not, you know, Jared.
Did they recognize that he had PTSD?
at first, they wrote down that it was mood adjustments disorder, and then later on it was PTSD.
So once they officially recognized him as having PTSD, that's when they started actually giving him some help, some limited help. When he went to Five North and eventually...
Well, nobody ever told him he had PTSD. I actually found paperwork after his death in his vehicle in a sealed envelope that he had requested. I had been telling him that he needed to get out on PTSD.
So, at this point, both he and you are trying to get him more help, and the military is saying, you got to do this on your own time. It's taking up time from him. What were they trying to get him to do work-wise at that point? Were they trying to redeploy him still, or were they giving him a desk duty?
When you're in the S5 shop, you do public relations, and you're at a desk, and you do, planning memorials and dealing with, the funds and helping out with other Ranger families who need help in time of need. So that's what pretty much, as Jared would say, and a lot of other people would say, is that's where they put you, just to keep you busy. They give you the easiest, most, as you would say, the dumbest jobs, just to keep you around.
So there's some irony there of him working at the S5 shop when, in fact, it seems like you guys needed help from the S5 shop too.
Yeah, I mean, we were doing really good when he was there. It gave us the time that we needed. It would have been nicer if it was more time, but it helped. That helped a lot. He didn't have the stress of dealing with the everyday duties that a regular ranger on the line would, he didn't have to stay late nights. He didn't have to do any of that. So he pretty much was home every night with traffic included, about maybe 4 or 5 at the latest. On good days, 1, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Great. So things were improving then. So did what happened after that to cause things to get worse? Did they redeploy him again?
Well, his time was coming up to where he'd get out of the service, and he was so excited. We both were, oh my gosh. And as time went on, he realized how difficult it was to get a job out of the military. And he'd come home and he'd talk about how he ran into a fellow, soldier, and they would just be like, so I heard you're getting out. And he'd be like, yeah. And he said he'd get upset because they'd start giving him a hard time, or they'd be like, we really need you. And my husband's the kind of person that if anybody needed him, he's right there. He put his needs last. And they just kept kind of pushing him. And they made him promises that if he reenlisted, they would do this or do that. And then after he signed the paperwork, they broke those promises, and that's when things really got kind of bad. You could just see the hopelessness and the regret and just anger in his eyes. It's like, at that point, we knew we couldn't do this for another 6 years. And I told him, I was like, I can do it, but I don't think you can, Jared. And he's like, well, they promised me, you know, just do this for 2 years and then, you know, I can, another one of the promises after they broke all the other ones. He's like, they promised me just 2 years of this and then after that I can, you know, I can go in a non-deployable position. And I could tell in his eyes he didn't believe it, but he wanted to. He wanted hope. He wanted so bad to believe somebody. He wanted to believe that they actually cared about him.
So it sounds like then that he was looking forward to getting out and they convinced him to sign up again. Is that right?
Correct.
So, obviously, he's going through intense pain. You're going through intense pain. Did he use alcohol or something to try and escape? Something we all
use. Oh, yeah. Before, he was just a social drinker or just to relax. But after that first deployment, he just drank all the time. And it wasn't till after, finally, you know, the Five North and, you know, being admitted to Five North that he finally told me that the reason why he drank was to numb everything. And I told him, I was like, look, I don't blame you, but it's only going to make it worse. And I was like, you got to talk to me. I'm here for you. So he opened up a lot to me.
Did you get much support from the other wives in the unit?
No. No, the only time I've ever gotten anything from anybody was the first few months we were married, I believe. He was out in Ranger, doing some Ranger stuff, and I had a miscarriage, and he wasn't around for that, so that really tore him up, and I got a thing of flowers. That's it. That's the only time anybody from FRG or any of the wives have ever contacted me.
So it's not like on how they portray on TV where it's this tight-knit group, clearly. Quite the opposite.
Maybe if you're just like the rest of them. My husband was different.
How was he different?
He actually cared. He stood up for what he believed in. He was just sorry. He was just a simple person. I mean, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but he was just an amazing person. He cared about everybody,
And he just didn't understand why people were so selfish and didn't care. He said in the military, you're just a number. And he hated that. So when he finally became a staff sergeant, he was so excited. He was excited because he wanted to make a difference in these men's life. But he's like, I don't want to deploy. So it was, he was stuck between a rock and a hard place. He said that he wanted to make a difference in these men's life. And this is what he told me the last night I was with him. He said he didn't want them to turn out like him. He said if he could just help one of them, he'd be happy. And I know he was trying to help. I know of at least one person he was trying to help. He just kept saying, this kid's so smart.
Do you know what's become of that kid he was trying to help?
I've tried contacting him and a few others that my husband spoke frequently of. I don't know if they knew, but he was always worried about them. They were like, he was sort of like a big brother to everybody. He always jumped in when he could to help people. But they ignored my calls, wouldn't answer me.
And since his suicide in June, have they pretty much turned the spigot off on what limited support they did give you?
What do you mean?
Have things has the military been less supportive since his suicide?
Well, they weren't supportive in the first place, so I can't really tell you if there's a difference there at all. I mean, it's, yeah, it is what it is, I guess. I'm used to it.
So you had a memorial for him in California.
That was his funeral.
Funeral, yeah. But you're still trying to get the military to give him a memorial, is that correct?
They've changed their stories several times, and because the agreement or the understanding that we had made before I signed the papers is that buried him down in California like he always wanted. It was so hard for me to do it, but that's what he wanted. That they would have a memorial up here of some sort for him, because he didn't want a lot of people in uniform. He didn't want an uptight. So he wanted it kind of relaxed. And so by the time we got that done and over with, they told me that there wasn't going to be one. And asked them why. I was so upset. And they just said they didn't want any media coverage. And then it was pending the investigation. And then it was, I believe, pending the autopsy report. And then, oh no, definitely, we've already made up our mind. And I had told I had talked to, I want to say his name's Moltech, or I can't remember. Starts with an M, and from the Rangers, and I had spoken with him, and he had told me that the decision was final. And I told him I wanted to speak with whoever made the decision because I wanted to know the reasoning why, and tell him that I wanted one for my husband. And Mr. Moletich told me, they're not going to call you. Nobody's going to call you. The decision's been made. It's up to them. And what I can do is voice your concern. And I told him, this isn't a concern. This is a demand. My husband earned that. That's the community, the other soldiers, my husband's men. They need that. You know, they needed that. And I know so many people that knew me and my husband. Well, not like we really had a lot of real friends, but my family and a few of my close friends wanted to be there. You know, to be, they couldn't make it to the funeral, so they wanted a memorial for him. And but yeah, they told me no, and just a few days ago they told me that they decided that they'll hold one for him. And I said, well, you know, I asked, I was like, when, do you know this? You know, what's the information on it? And he said, all I know right now is that they will. I don't have any other information. And as soon as it becomes available, I'll have somebody contact you. I didn't get the name of the person who's going to contact me, nothing. But then again, at this moment in time, it's my husband's men are deployed. And, you know, I wanted to have it before they left. But as long as, you know, I get the memorial for his men, because that's, Jared cared so much about them, and you know, the community, because he believed that nobody cared about him. He felt so alone.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. Obviously, this deserves a lot more time to cover this, but perhaps you can come back in the future. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming in and spending time with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
We've just been talking with Ashley Joppa Hageman, widow of 25-year Staff Sergeant Jared Hageman, who served as a Ranger in the U.S. Army and who committed suicide on June 28th of this year ahead of his 8th redeployment to Iraq and Afghanistan.